Well, we've heard the statistics about income inequality in the U.S., the gap between the wealthy who've seen income increase and everyone else. For instance, since the 1980s, and taking inflation into account, men without a college education have seen real wages drop anywhere from 5 to 25%. Is there a connection between the income gap and state budgets, which have been squeezed by slowing revenues? From 1950 to 1979, state tax revenue grew almost 10%. Then in 1980, it started steadily dropping down to a little over 3% from 2000 to 2009. Is there a connection? A new report from Standard & Poor's says yes, that income inequality is actually wreaking havoc on state education, infrastructure, social services. Gabriel Pettick is the Standard & Poor's credit analyst who authored the report. He joins us. And Gabriel, so we know there's income inequality. That's been well documented. What are you doing with that fact that's different?
Well, that's right. Normally, when people look at this topic, they look at it from the perspective of what can tax policy do to affect income inequality. But in our role here at Standard & Poor's, we are interested in the ability of states to repay their debt obligations. And so we asked the question the other way. We said, well, what could be the effect that inequality is having on tax revenues? Or really, is there an effect of inequality on state tax revenues? And so with the appropriate caveats in place whenever you do this kind of statistical work, our conclusion is that, yes, in fact, there is an effect. It's causing state tax revenues over time to grow more slowly and at the same time to become more volatile, meaning they swing sometimes significantly from one year to the next.
What's the main reason for that?
Well, the slower growth probably reflects less purchasing power by the vast majority that have flat or even stagnating or declining wages. And the volatility is a function of the fact that states have become increasingly dependent on people at the very top end that get a lot of their income from investments in the financial markets. And as we know, those can go through a lot of fluctuation and turmoil, and that translates directly to state budgets in the form of revenue volatility. And really, that's a very challenging problem for states when it comes to setting their annual budgets.
Well, the fact that the very, very wealthy get a lot of their income from money that's spun off of their investments also means that they're not paying as high taxes on that income. We had that conversation when Mitt Romney was running for president. People found out that that income was taxed at a much lower rate. But you're also saying that when wages aren't going up, people with lower incomes aren't spending as much.
That's right. The people have less ability to spend as much. And then on the other hand, the people at the very top end, frankly, don't need to spend as much. And so they're able to put more and more money away in savings. And that savings isn't going to work in the economy. We see it in old infrastructure that needs to be updated. These problems are related to one another. Ultimately, it's having an effect of slowing down the overall ability of the economy to grow. And because states rely on economic growth to generate their tax revenues, it's not surprising that their tax revenues are growing at a slower rate as well.
Yeah. It's counterintuitive what you just said, that, you know, the people with a lot of money don't tend to spend it. But the thinking is it's because they have most of what they need. But staying with purchases, how else is state revenue being affected by the way people across the board are buying things?
One area that is probably contributing to an erosion of state tax revenue growth is the transition in the economy toward more purchasing of online goods and services. And so in many states, that's still not taxed in the same way that brick-and-mortar purchases are. So we were unable to measure it in our statistical analysis, but we intuitively think that that's probably a part of the story.
And some states are taking matters into their own hands. Tell us about that.
What we find are states turning to a lot of smaller ancillary types of fees and taxes on individual services, even more alternative measures like in Colorado where they're taxing the selling of marijuana. We're seeing a lot of creativity in the states to try to combat this trend.
Other people point to what are essentially taxes on low-income people who might get arrested. A lot of cities, we're finding out now post-Ferguson and some writing about it, getting their income from fees on people, for instance, who've gotten tickets. So people are looking for ways to raise this revenue. But what about raising taxes? California in 2012, voters there backed a ballot measure to raise taxes. It raised them 1% on millionaires. and boosted the sales tax and the income tax on income over $250,000.
And our research finds that it does help offset to some degree the slowdown in tax collections. The problem is it comes at a price. The price is greater revenue volatility because it only exacerbates their linkage to the financial markets. We saw in California a decline of $20 billion, 20% of its general fund in 1 year, and that was more a function of its dependence on financial investment type of income. It's not a perfect panacea right. for state budget problems.
What would be? No matter how much the economy improves, unless that trickles down to workers whose wages have stagnated, we'll have the same problem.
Well, that's right. I think one interesting observation is that states with higher levels of education have also shown less income inequality. And so one strategy for a state might be to pursue an objective of raising the overall education level throughout that state. Now, that would take a long time. You're talking about a generational type of change. But at the same time, this problem that we're discussing has been a long time in the making. So however they approach it, we think it's unlikely it will change any time in the near future.
Gabriel Pettit, credit analyst with Standard & Poor's and the author of this new report showing how income inequality is impacting states. Gabriel, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
So are you seeing budget shortfalls due to income inequality in your state? Weigh in at hereandnow.org.